prayer. Or 101 or whatever about, or a book. About Krishna consciousness and health. Hello. Hello. It's testing. That I'm saying here, that Krishna consciousness good for your health. Yes, an old friend of mine said the other day, but how come that these ISKCON devotees seem to get more sick and die earlier than average people in our society? And I don't know if that is true. But if you yourself is or have been tormented by some chronic disease, or recurring diseases, others, like that, then, well, these are some thoughts for your consideration. What I will say here is that this, what we call Krishna consciousness, is in itself all source of life, prana and chi, and life energy, and health and happiness and joy that there is and that we need. When we understand what this Krishna consciousness is, because it is exactly what it sounds like. There are no Krishna conscious clothes or Krishna conscious books or Krishna conscious musical instruments or Krishna conscious food. There are only Krishna conscious people. Meaning, it's about our consciousness here within, where we are. But in our modern culture, we tend to take things much on in the outside world there, as if that is, if not the reality, so at least the most important part of reality that we first of all need to deal with. Now, that is in itself an attitude to life that is conditioned by materialism, physicalism, the idea of the material world to be the one and only, at least the one we need to deal with first, because it's right here in front of our physical senses, right? Soul, you know, that's for the religious ones, but I just finished writing, publishing my book now, Vedic Planetarium, and it's about that, the change of worldview from the materialistic point of view to the idealist, you could say, worldview, the consciousness-based worldview, where you look at the world not from outside through these eyeballs in our skulls of our physical bodies, but from right where we are, as conscious observers, as living beings and sentient souls. I mean, in all our beauty and splendor, that we actually will more and more realize once we can step back from that world of the five senses and be in the full world. Whether we choose now to focus our attention into the world of the five senses because we've got something to do here, or there's something we want to do here, but then always being situated in here. Inside looking out, and as I also bring up there in my book, the overwhelming evidence of faith healing, and you know how meditation, yoga and such practices can improve our health, and how depression can ruin our health. In other words, how the state of our mind rules also the life that we will experience around us, because we see the outside world very much through the filter and in the light of our own consciousness, our own mind, and the state of it. So first of all, what is Krishna consciousness? It's God consciousness. It means I am conscious of the presence of God in my life. And I should be that all the time. That's how Srila Prabhupada, he was kind of talking that, you know, all the time, 24 hours a day, we should be Krishna conscious. And of course, we sometimes thought that this means we should do these external activities 24 hours a day that are Krishna conscious activities. You know, and it starts to become ritualistic. As if we have to do these physical activities, otherwise it's not for real. This should be a real thing, and the real place is the material world. But then the transcendentalists, and I would say much of what the prophets that come now and then on this planet and speak and teach are saying is that, hey, they're helping us to look at it from the God-conscious perspective, meaning I'm here, I am an ever-existing person. Yeah, I can say I'm the soul and not the body, but then to many that soul sounds very ephemeral and abstract, right? Some flimsy soul flying around in there somewhere. But that it is the opposite. The soul, or us, we are the reality here. And when we start to see and realize ourselves, we are just finding something beautiful, someone, and each other. Hey, we're beautiful beings, and we are part of children of the most beautiful beings. And we're all friends, we're all together, and we're, life is just an amazing, ever developing adventure, or peace at home when we want so. So why I'm saying all this is that when we are in that consciousness right now, it's not a philosophy, it's just an awareness that you can have, that I can have right now, that yes, here am I, here is God. And the presence of God is, when you think about it, more obvious and clear and beyond any doubt, first of all, even than the presence of us, because there is a presence here. And if we just look at this entire presence of all these living beings and this fantastic nature, beautiful nature, which there, yes, in the Indian wisdom is, and of course that of most on the planet, is Mother Nature, Mother Lakshmi, Mother Parvati, Mother Durga, Mother Kali, Mother Sita, Mother Radha, whatever relationship you have to Mother Nature, she appears that way back to you. You want to conquer and control her and rob her of resources and enslave and kill and eat her children living here, having the right to live a peaceful, happy life here. Then, well, you will meet her as Mother Kali, angry, and she can, phew, be very heavy then. And on the other side, we treat her as our mother, and we treat the cows as our mother, women as our mother, our mother as our mother. Mother and father, of whom we are all children. So, from that point of view, it should be easy to also see each other as a big family of some sort here on Earth, and let's now deal it out. Leave each other in peace, and we shall work it out together, you know. Conflict, and we can solve it. Let's grow up now and be adults. After all these years, we humans. May the young lead us, maybe. I mean, the old boomers have to let go of their old power plays. So, yeah. What has that to do with health? Well, you know, when you... First of all, when you work with hypnotherapists, I did deep soul therapy, as we, you can call it, I like to call it. Then we know that you can't just ignore reality, pretend it doesn't exist, because it's uncomfortable, but rather when we live in the presence of God, what it means is that we see the world, even the world through the five senses out there, in a bigger perspective, the bigger picture. Yeah, I'm an eternal spirit soul here. I never die. I was never born from nothing. I just pass from, you know, one life to another, trying out this, trying out that. But really, I have my real home somewhere. And it's not somewhere over there far away, but it's in here when I find myself and live with a fuller awareness of myself. And that awareness then is given in the old wisdom from India and elsewhere. It is that I'm a part of God, I'm a ray from God, I'm a child of God, and who is with me all the time. And from whom all life comes, who is life itself, that I am also. The source of all strength. All vitality. Of joy. So when I'm connected with that source, my own source, not through some means out there of but in here, yes. I may hold a bead in my hand or out there, my physical body, and sit in a yoga posture or whatever, but that is all there to help me, to give me peace and concentration. My consciousness to be in the presence of God. And when you're there, you can talk. God is a person, not only like we, but so much more. So you can have a personal relationship just as with anyone. And then I would say this in itself, connected, being again in the presence of the very soul, source of your life and your health and your energy and everything, your joy first of all. And that is the first and foremost way to healing. Quite obviously, it sounds to me also when I say it like this. So anyway, that's what we can talk about a bit here. Maybe that's a book also.